sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, today we thank you for your blessings. And Father, I now ask your anointing upon the word as it goes forth today. And Father, as you've laid this message upon my heart, Father, I pray that it would be a blessing to someone that hears it today. Father, I know it's a message that's tough. But Father, I believe you have a word for someone today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is titled, God's Word Cannot Lie. Back somewhere around the early 60s, I'm not quite sure of the date, evangelist Bud Chambers wrote a song titled, If Jesus Said It. Now my friend Terry Cross, who worked with me in ministry during the 60s, and I sang a number of times, we didn't actually sing at his services, but we sang the song dozens of times. Harry and I also played our instruments at some of his revival meetings. And the words to the song, or at least the chorus of the song, If Jesus Said It, goes like this. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. And though the mountains be removed, and cast into the sea, God's word will live forever, even through eternity. You know, there's a lot of things going on with the word of God today. A lot of people don't necessarily believe the word of God today. They take it as something that, oh, well, we don't like that, so we can skip that part. Well, he really didn't mean it that way. We even have to be careful about some of the translations that we use because they're not fulfilling or following the accurate Word of God. And I realize that sometimes over the years, words in any language can somewhat change in their meaning. For instance, there's a word today in the English language, gay. If we say the word gay, we're typically referring to somebody who is homosexual. However, years ago, that word meant something festive. There's a verse in the King James translation that says about wearing gay apparel, and it's talking about fancy dress and this particular occasion where it refers to. But if we go by the meaning of that word today, or the way most people interpret it, we will interpret it probably incorrectly. So we have to sometimes do a little research on what the words actually mean and what their meaning applied to in the time frame that it was written in. But God's word will live forever, even through eternity. Jesus said it. I believe it. I saw a cartoon just recently of Jesus speaking some things, and they took in this cartoon some of the things that Jesus said and twisted them around, where he was approving of things that the Word of God says are unacceptable, that they are sin, and oh, we talk about four-letter words. That's the great three-letter word, sin. We don't want to admit so many times today that something that's said or done is a sin. We want to think that if we feel good about it, that it must be okay. I know I've mentioned it before. There was a popular song back in the 70s, probably into the 80s even, that said, if it feels so good, how could it be wrong? If it feels okay, how can it be wrong? I want you to think about that. If it feels good, how can it be wrong? Well, there are Bibles says there are things that feel good in the natural, but the Bible calls them sin. I want to refer back to the statement of faith that the Lord's House Fellowship uses. And over the many, many years of this ministry, we've changed the name of the ministry on occasion. Before it was the Lord's House Fellowship, it was Something I Can Feel Ministries, and was that for many, many years. And quite honestly, we changed the name simply because some people made fun of it and related it to things that the Bible says are sin. Prior to that, it was Unger Evangelistic Outreach. But the statement of faith from day one has remained the same. And the very first item in the statement of faith is the scripture inspired. The scriptures, both the Old and New Testaments, are verbally inspired of God and are the revelation of God to man. The infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct refers to 2 Timothy 3:15, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and 2 Peter 1:21. God's Word says in 2 Peter 1:21, "For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." In other words, these various writers, the ones that physically wrote down the word that the Holy Spirit inspired them to write, didn't do it just because it was something they thought about writing or was something they wanted to get out. It was the word that God gave them through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's God's word, and as the words to that song said, that will live forever, even through eternity. It is forever. Now, I know there are some things in God's word that will come and go. They will come, they will happen, they will take place, they will pass. But there are some things that God's word says, it's going to be that way throughout eternity, forever. In other words, if God's word says something is sin, then it's sin. Now, this thing about God's word, Isaiah 48 in the 1599 Geneva Bible reads, and I'm going to read the whole verse here, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." That's coming from a translation that goes back hundreds of years. One of the earliest English translations says, "The word of our God shall stand forever." And it also says exactly the same in the 1611 King James Bible. And translations or revisions of it since then. That same verse in one of the most modern translations that we have, the 2015 edition of the Messianic Jewish Family Bible, I'm just going to read the part about God's word. It says, "But the word of our God stands forever." Translations that were done 400 plus years apart, they read exactly the same almost. The Complete Jewish Bible, 1998. But the Word of Our God Will Stand Forever. The Holloman Christian Standard Bible, which is a very popular translation right now, copyrighted 1999 and also again 2009. But the Word of Our God Remains Forever. The Lasma Bible, or Lasama, I guess it is, from translated from Aramaic in 1933, again says, the Word of Our God shall stand forever. There's no doubt about what the Word of God will stand forever. Now, that's in the Old Testament. We go forward into the New Testament, and it says in 1 Peter 1:25 in the King James, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. 1 Peter 1:25 again in the Geneva Bible, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Tree of Life version, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Holloman Christian Standard version, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Complete Jewish Bible, but the word of Adonai lasts forever. The Lamza, but the word of our God endures forever. Translations spanning over 400 years. Some going back to the very ancient languages, translating from the Aramaic, from the Hebrew, from the Greek. God's word endures forever. It's not going to come to an end, folks. It's going to happen. Whatever it says is going to take place, is going to take place. And again, whatever it calls sin is still going to be sin forever. It's not one day God's going to change his mind and say, oh, well, this was sin back then, but it's okay now. It's not going to happen that way, folks. God's word said it's sin, it's sin. So why have we gone through all of this to lead into the message? God's word never lies. It never fails. It's truth forever. God's word is God's word. Well, plain and simple, if it was sin then, it's sin now. If it was true then, it's true now. But so many so-called Christians of today, as well as an increasing number of churches, are turning away from what God's word said and are saying various forms of sin are okay. Well, it was okay back then, but we don't need to judge. After all, the Bible says, don't judge. The Bible also says, by your fruits you will know them. And by their fruits you can tell if they are living in sin or if they're committing sin, whichever way it comes out. If God said it was sin 1,600 years ago, if God said it was sin 3,000 years ago, it's still sin today. Now, there were things that God said to the Jewish people to not do, that we as Gentile Christians do. But it was a restriction he put specifically on that group of people. And some want to say, oh, well, you know, it just depends on who you're talking to. I want to give you an example here. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And in John 3:3, he also said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, I think that's pretty plain. Except you be born again, except you come to Jesus, you're not going to make it to heaven. It's simply put as that. Unless you repent, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to point out, every last person who's ever been born on planet Earth will one day stand before God, one way or another, some to receive rewards and some to receive judgment. And those receiving judgment will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, because God has said, if you don't accept me, if you don't accept Jesus as the Savior, you'll never make it. Yet there are ministers in churches today that are teaching that everyone is going to heaven, or the doctrine of universalism. That's not something that happened just a few years ago. It's back quite a ways. But it became very popular again in the last 10, 15 years. And I'm going to name a few names here, but there are ones that have already been made public. That's nothing new. It's nothing that's going to be something shocking to you when the name comes up. But Bishop Carlton Pearson. I know I've seen Bishop Pearson on television, heard some of his ministry, pastored a large church in Oklahoma, began teaching this doctrine several years ago. If I recall correctly, a good portion of his church got up and left. A guy by the name of Robert Holmes, nicknamed Rob Bell Jr., so you would know him most likely as Rob Bell, an American author, a speaker, and former pastor, founder of Mars Hill Bible Church, located in Granville, Michigan, which he pastored until 2012. That's only 7 years ago. He authored a book, Love Wins, which basically states that everyone is going to heaven, even those who don't want to. Hitler's going to be in heaven. Some of the most vile, evil people of history will be there. Some celebrities are promoting there are many ways to heaven. Oprah Winfrey, for one, promotes that theology that everyone's going to heaven. There are various paths to heaven. We don't have to necessarily be a Christian. We can be a Buddhist and still get to heaven. We can be whatever and still get there. But that's not what God's Word has to say. We're seeing ministries and churches embracing various things that the Word of God declares to be sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now here, I want you to realize he's speaking about last day's events. He's speaking about the rapture of the church, that's an event that's yet to come. He's speaking about the tribulation period, which is an event that's yet to come. But he says there is going to be a falling away first. That means some people are going to deny the Word of God. There are people who have been in church that are not going to be in church anymore. Surveys and all of that have shown that in America, church attendance is falling. Now, I realize there are some countries where church attendance, Christian church attendance, is picking up. I realize in some places throughout the world, in some countries, most of them, if not all of them, undergoing great persecution of Christians, but yet the faith is growing. But the day is coming that there will be that falling away. And I think part of the falling away it's referring to there is the fact that we'll no longer teach the truth of the Word of God. We'll no longer say sin is what the Bible says is sin. It goes on in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. What about this false prophets? We've had false prophets since the beginning of the church. We've had false prophets all throughout history. There have been people who have given false prophecies. There are a lot of them out there today. In years past, some of them were more noticeable as to who they were. And we've mentioned before on previous messages, some of the false prophets that have been out there within the last 30, 40 years. Jim Jones, for one, started out as a Christian, to my knowledge. Was actually at one point ordained in the same denomination I was ordained in. Yet, he went astray and became a false prophet. Others, some claiming to be God, some claiming to be Jesus. And they had their followers, but they were false prophets, false teachers. I want to talk about some of the things that are going on today that the Bible absolutely said, based upon this scripture here, is going to happen and is happening. A few years ago, how many would have thought that an atheist would pastor a church? I mean, an atheist absolutely does not believe in God. At least that's their theology. They don't believe in God. Everything is just happenstance. It just happened. Most atheists at some point do come to believe in God, but for most of them it is too late. I just heard about this recently. A lady by the name of Margaret Ann Vosper, also known as Greta Vosper, is an ordained minister of the United Church of Canada who is a self-professed atheist. In 2013, she told her congregation that she was an atheist. That led to calls by denominational leaders for her to be fired. And after about 5 years of divisive discussion and debate, the United Church of Canada decided to let Vosper remain as a pastor. Why would you even want to go to a church like that, where the pastor doesn't believe what you're going to church for? She doesn't believe there's a God. What's the purpose of it? Well, I guess looking at some of the churches today, maybe it's the reason some of the other churches are being filled today as well. Some churches are accepting what the Bible plainly calls sin as being acceptable. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them." You can find that also in Genesis 5:2, Matthew 19:4, Mark 10:6. The Bible says God created male and female. He didn't create 72 genders as some folks would have you believe today. Nope, there's only two. And when it comes down to the science of it, the genetics of it, there are only two. So I don't care what some people are saying, and some people are saying this in church and it's being accepted in some churches. There are only two, male and female. And by the way, and I didn't put this in my notes, but God said it was a sin for man to lay with a man as he would with a woman. I'll leave it there. Recently, in public libraries, and now it's even spread to some Christian churches, and I'm reading this from an article in Big League Politics. Another church is hosting the reading of a drag queen story hour. Now, this is where a drag queen, a man dressed as a woman in, my opinion, very ridiculous makeup and get-up, performs. Typically, it used to be at strip clubs and things of that nature. But now it's been brought to the public library so your kids can see it and interact with it. But now churches are also doing it. It's an event that is spreading like a plague throughout the nation and is known to host convicted sexual predators and give them intimate access to precocious children. The Los Angeles Times published a gushing profile on Wednesday about the Fairview Community Church in Costa Mesa, California, after they allowed drag queen Autumn Rose to indoctrinate kids on their campus. This is a church in the state of California allowing this to happen when the Bible says it's sin. Indoctrinating their young, susceptible children to be indoctrinated into sin. Kids just need to see the different role models, said Reverend Sarah Halverson Kano, who serves as Fairview's senior pastor. The ultra-progressive church is part of the United Church of Christ. They regularly fly a rainbow gay pride flag celebrating sodomy and also promote the anti-police Black Lives Matter group. They regularly perform homosexual marriages in the church as well. Also, there's a report that Mount Auburn Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, also hosted a reading of Drag Queen Story Hour on their church grounds last month. Think about that. Here's another one, June 7th, 2017. The bishop spoke the traditional words as she placed her hands on the new deacon named M, with just a slight difference from the way those words have always been spoken before. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon him, the bishop said. Send them now to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to announce the reign of God, and to equip the church for ministry. Not send him now. Send them now. That's what M. Barkley has been working for 12 years to finally hear. Barkley, a transgender person who identifies as neither male nor female, and thus uses the pronoun they, was commissioned on Sunday, this was June the 7th, roughly, of 2017, as the first non-binary member of the clergy of the United Methodist Church. I tell you, some of the founders of some of these churches, as the old saying goes, are probably spinning in their graves as to what's happened in the churches that they helped establish. May 3rd, 2012. Unlike the 2008 United Methodist General Conference, transgender issues have not captured a prominent place at the church's 2012 meeting in Tampa, Florida. In contrast, the church's 2008 meeting, and Fort Worth featured controversy around the former Reverend Ann Gordon, who became Drew Phoenix after a sex change operation. Oregon pastor David Weekly is currently the only publicly announced transsexual pastor actively appointed to a United Methodist congregation. And that was an article that was in the Baptist New Global. I believe that was where it was at. Also, there's an article in the New Baptist Global, November 9th, 2018, Why Being Transgender is Not a Sin. It's an opinion piece written by Mark Wingfield. But the Bible tells us if God said it's sin, then it's sin. It's not going to change because we want it to change. It's not going to be something different. It's not going to be okay just because we want it to be okay. Now we can try to twist the words, we can try to argue the translation didn't mean what it says, we can try all these things, but if the Bible says it's sin, it's sin. January 23rd of 2011, I preached a message which is available on our website. Sin is sin, and always will be sin. You might want to listen to that one. Been said, if you want to build a big church, don't preach on sin. Preach on what people want to hear. And we look at some of the mega churches today and we listen what is being preached in some of them. And I want you to understand, I am not speaking against all mega churches. There are ones out there that are preaching the Word of God and are sticking true to what God has to say. And God bless them, help them to get even bigger. But there are ones that have grown large simply because they are twisting the Word of God and preaching what itching ears want to hear, which is also fulfilling what the Bible has to say about things that would come in the last days. One mega church pastor years ago canvassed the neighborhood that he was starting a church in, and he asked the folks, "What do you want to hear preached?" Well, he went from a very small congregation to a mega church in a fairly short period of time, because sin was not mentioned. Just be happy. Be happy. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. Back in 1741, Enfield, Connecticut, Enfield, Connecticut, and also in Northampton, Massachusetts, around the same time, a Christian preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards says, actually in the information on him, the British colonial Christian theologian. He preached to his congregation, "Sinners in the hands of an angry God." That message has been preached over and over throughout the over or almost 300 years since he first preached by various pastors, some having preached it word for word. Copies of it are available on the internet. And Edwards hoped that the imagery and language of his sermon would awaken his audience to the horrific reality of hell that awaits them, that they should continue living without calling on Christ that to be saved. In other words, if you're not going to call on Jesus to be saved, you're going to hell. But nobody wants to preach that today. I recently heard asked, "When was the last time you heard a sermon preached on hell?" By the way, it's my understanding the current Pope has decided, in all of his great wisdom, that there is no hell. Yet he is supposed to be God's vicar to the church on earth. There's no hell. But the Bible plainly says there is a hell, and if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's where you're going to end up. It says in the little article I read on Edwards, Edwards was interrupted many times during the sermon by people moaning and crying out, "What shall I do?" I remember years ago, we would go to church, and especially to churches that held Sunday night services. You would hear a sermon preached, and many times it was preached that hell was hot, and you were going there unless you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you would see the altars filled with people who were crying out to God, weeping, "Jesus, come into my heart." Do we see that anymore? Unfortunately, it's a rare occurrence. Churches today don't seem to want to preach the gospel. Well, they want to preach their own gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. When we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. But the good news of Jesus Christ is being twisted and preached about the good news of what he can do for you. Well, true. He saves you. You get to go to heaven. You accept him as your Savior and you live for him. But now, churches are being preached where people are simply being taught how to save money, how to invest, how to get rich, Now, some of what I'm going to talk about here is from Christian Truth Center, article published June 1st, 2019. Man, the writer says, I went to a church where the preacher preached and taught people how to get rich, save money, invest, have no credit cards, blah, 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 blah. Many churches today are teaching how to get money, how to stay healthy, how to be blessed, how to date, how to stay in marriage, how to stop addiction, etc. And this is not the gospel. The primary message of the church on Sunday should be about Jesus Christ and how to be born again and how to live for God. Now, it's fine if you want to talk about things that apply to your everyday life, and some of these things do apply to our everyday life, and there's nothing wrong with talking about how to keep your marriage healthy. Nothing wrong how to get out of an addiction. Nothing wrong about dating, teaching about dating. Some of this stuff needs to be taught, but it should not be the primary function of what's going on in the church. When we get people who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and want to live for God, they're going to want to know these things. I recently got a letter in the mail telling me how to be continually blessed. And when I opened it up, I could be continually blessed by sending an offering of X number of dollars to this particular minister. By the way, a particular minister that I had ordered a video from, because that was the only place I could get it. And after a couple of months, I'm still waiting on my video. No acknowledgement that they ever got my order. All about money. Now I realize, and I want to stay on this money subject just a moment here. I realize ministries on radio, on television, churches have to have money to function. I understand that. But when the primary message becomes money, 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 and we forget about all these other things, something is wrong. I've trusted for the almost 60 years of ministry for God to supply my need. And very rarely did we ever send out anything or mention anything about send us money. Yes, if you'd like to support us, send us an offering. No specific amounts. We left it up to God to speak. But yet so many of them today, it's send me money, send me money, send me money. There's one particular preacher on TV right now that every word he says is about sending him money. And he's amassed a fortune. Today, you've listened to this message. Maybe God has convicted you of some things. Because this message today is just as much for the Christian as it is for the sinner. Sometimes Christians need to repent and cry out and ask God for forgiveness. God, forgive me. God, straighten out my life. And maybe you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the primary message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God loves you. And I know some say, well, because God loves you, you're going to go to heaven whether you accept Him or not. And that is not true. It's not what God's Word says. God would not be a just God if He required it of some and not of others. Maybe you're not a Christian. All you have to do is ask Jesus Christ into your heart. In all sincerity, you've got to believe what you're doing. If you do that in all sincerity, say, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. He'll come into your heart. He'll move in your life. He'll bless you. Father, today, I know it's been not a usual message, but I just pray, Father, that you would touch hearts and lives. And Father, if there's one that's accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior as a result today, we thank you for that. And I know that angels are rejoicing in heaven because your word says so. And I just pray, Father, that you touch hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.